We had an elders meeting, it probably was a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, but we began to talk about different things that that would probably unify our hearts and our lives to Christ in a greater sense, and of course that will do that type of work in our lives. And so, did we have something, Danny? Okay, as far as announcing. All right. Morning, Jake. Yes. Everyone have a good week?
Yes.
Pretty good week? Half a good week? I'm always saying, well, hey, God, why am I not lining up to what you're telling me? So sometimes I have to go and I have to read all the scriptures on discouragement or encouragement to wipe out discouragement. And this funny thing about it, the way he talks to you is so direct.
Yes.
You know, his word, it just goes, I mean, okay, are you discouraged? And yesterday I was a little discouraged, you know, kind of like the soul, it's discouraged for 1 hour and then you get a little bit of joy. But reading all those scriptures, boy, he just said, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. This, right. You know, and so by the time I got done with that, I was singing praises. There was something good about not being discouraged because God told me that I was supposed to be discouraged. Now, no one, you know, gave me three-part sermon to be encouraged. It was just that I read the word and it encouraged me. And David, again, when he was in a big heap of trouble and even his own men were going to destroy his life because of situations that were happening around him, David encouraged himself. Amen?
Yeah.
And I just want you to be encouraged this morning by the Holy Spirit. God's wanting to encourage you. Okay, I have some things that we're going to talk about this morning. Joseph, could you hand these guys out? Just, yeah, if you get one in each person's hand, that'd be good. It's not very hard, difficult today. Praise the Lord. I ate too much yesterday. 6 graduations and all that good food. I mean, my. I did have to even stop. It's hard, you know, you're trying to be sociable. And all right. We were talking about areas that if we can get on the same page with each other, then we would be going in a direction together, okay?
Amen.
And getting on the same page with each other and going in the same direction is very important, if you know what I mean. In every part of your life, you get on, you know, like, let's say you're going to go on vacation, and one person wants to go to this direction, the other person wants to go to this direction, you're not on the same page. And until you get there, you're not, this vacation is like, somewhat like taking Tom's kids to McDonald's and asking what they want. And by the time you're done, you're saying, we're ordering for you. We're just ordering for you because there's so many different things that they want, you couldn't get that all figured out. So on this paper, we were just talking about, for 1 year's time, if we did something continuously or daily, if we did something, it would change our lives and change other people's lives. And so on the first area of this piece of paper that we drew up was repentance in baptism. It's actually baptism into repentance. Okay? Baptism, it means to be totally submerged. You know, when you get totally submerged in something, you're into it, right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, you jump into a swimming pool, you're totally submerged, you know, unless the swimming pool is 3 inches deep or something like that. But let's say 10 feet, because no one here is 10 feet tall, you'd be totally submerged, right?
Yeah.
And so in this thought is that we have to be totally submerged into repentance, and then we come in to the second thought is being born again. You know, it didn't work kind of like, the Bible talks about a double-minded man fails in all his ways. So if we're double-minded in any of these areas, what happens? We Double-minded only means two. So if you're half committed and the other half is not committed, it's going to bring confusion, and you'll fail in anything that you attempt, it tells us in James. So we find out that we come to this place of deep repentance. We say, Lord, I've worked this thing for all these years, and I finally come and just said, I'm giving my life to you, Jesus. You know, and it's real difficult because in your mind, sometimes the voice is in your mind saying, if I give my life to Jesus, I have to give up all my good times. But you know, but when you get to this stage of baptism into repentance, you just go, God, I need you. I have to have you. My life is a tremendous, tremendous mess. And you know what? To get lost, you know, a little bit lost, you don't feel too bad. But when you really, really get lost, that you're just so far out, you went so far, that's when God can grab a hold of you because of your deep repentance to get a hold of something that's working. And so we look at baptism into repentance. It's very important. We're submerged totally in repentance, so we're going somewhere now. And I remember my own personal testimony when I was messed up, man. But when I made that decision, and I made it in front of 2,000 people at Super Bowl Sunday in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, in a meeting like that, I had to walk forward and in front of everyone there and make that type of commitment to Jesus Christ. Well, apparently something had happened into me. It didn't make any difference what other people were thinking about me or what would they say. And then all these thoughts in my mind said, well, I just started a business, so I'll lose a lot of business because I made this commitment to Jesus. You know, just all sorts of different voices. But the fact is I'd come to the end of myself. You know, car accidents, situations, how you treated people, how you treated your wife, how you treated your family, how you treated society, how you were a mess. And so then I went up and I made this commitment called to be born again. Now, is born again pretty, how many people here are born again? Okay. Well, you already, if you went through the repentance deal and you got to the born again, you're already two of these. That's pretty good. I like it. So we become born again, and does born again change you? Linda, does it change you? Wow. I mean, I told my wife, I come home, and I said, yeah, hey, I got born again. She looked at me, yeah, right. What does that mean? And you know, isn't that the way it is? It's kind of like you have to catch it. You have to catch something. I was born again. And within 6 months, they could see the quality of life that I had changed because Jesus had stepped into my life and intervened. Good. Okay, so now you're born again, right? All of you born again? Everyone? Okay, so if everyone's born again here, do you think another person could be influenced by you being born again, that you could bring them to deep repentance? Because if their life's messed up, they probably are looking for deep repentance. They just don't understand. That's why when I went to the meeting, I had to go somewhere. I went to the meeting, and when I went to the meeting, something happened, and I become born again. Now, if I would have stayed home and watched Super Bowl, I don't even know what year it was, but it was 1979. If I would have went home and watched the Super Bowl, probably I wouldn't have got born again. I don't think on the TV set they would have said, Jake, it's your day, it's your hour to be born again. And so that didn't happen. But I went and I made a step out and something become real to me. All right? Now, have you ever had a person born again and the reality of being born again really isn't showing in their lives? Okay? You know, I mean, I know here they used to have every 10 years we'd get all the churches together and we'd have these evangelistic meetings. so that we were covering every 10 years that we were going to cover everyone that did not accept Christ into their lives for 10 years, and that was going to be a rally, and we were going to bring people to Christ. Okay, now it's been 20 years since we did that here in Thief River Falls. You know, and sometimes, you know, the good things, 10 years is pretty long, but it was working, and there was maybe 1,000 to 1,500 people that gave their lives to Christ. And so then when they gave their lives to Christ, they went back to their churches, and they're going, I've been born again. And I said, well, what is that? And so then they had to prove it in the scriptures, which they knew nothing about any scriptures. I mean, what scripture? Well, reading the Bible, you know, that type of deal. And so they'd go back into their system, and their born-again experience, they didn't experience it any longer. They felt it was a one-time deal, and yeah, I remember when I went up and I accepted Jesus into my heart, but they went to a place, back to a place that wasn't going to bring them to a place. They went back instead of forward. We have to go forward in our Christian walk, amen? And so the next one is going to really involve us. It's called, number three, is to receive a life coach to bring people into understanding. Okay? A life coach. Let's say it all together.
Life coach.
And then say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's say it again. Life coach. Life coach.
Life coach.
I'm trying to teach you. Life coach. Hallelujah. Yeah, that brings that Pentecostal spin on things, you know, hallelujah. Life coach, hey, I asked Jolie, she just graduated from 12th grade, and she's going into the rest of her life, and I said, could you be a life coach? And she didn't, there wasn't even a moment she said, yes. I said, well, I think you could. The one word, yes, is a pretty good qualification. Okay, so could how many people could be a life coach here? Do you feel like you could be a life coach? Just thinking about it. Okay. We've got several people that could be a life coach. Joseph, you could be a life coach, right? Okay. Yeah. Larry, could you be a life coach back there? All right, good. I appreciate it. Good to see you, buddy. How about you, Darla? You could be a, you don't drop the baby to raise your hands, but yeah. Okay, so you could, we all could be life coaches, and if the rest of the congregation had showed up this morning, I bet you a lot of them, or most of them, could be a life coach. What is a life coach? Okay, in the Old or New Testament, what was a life coach when Jesus come into the scene? Would you think he was a life coach?
Yeah.
Now, were the disciples life coaches?
Yeah.
No, they become life coaches. Yeah, but when it started out, they were pretty, they were a motley bunch. And so Jesus worked with them and worked with them and worked with them to bring them to a place of being called even apostolic and understanding the cost that it's going to cost for their, even onto their lives. You know, I guess this Christianity deal, Jesus, okay, now, Jesus, what did he do for us? Just pretty simple stuff. He died for us, right? Okay. Jesus died for us. What did the apostles do for us, traditionally speaking? They become disciples, then they become apostles, and or they had the apostolic deal on them. And apostolic means a message. The apostles had a message. It was the same message that Jesus was teaching them for 3.5 years. That I come, God sent his only begotten Son, that when he come into earth, that he would save us from our sins. And if we would believe in him, that we would have eternal life. Okay? So the message doesn't change. It's not your own personal message that you're bringing. That's not the ecclesia. The ecclesia, or the church, is Jesus Christ on the earth in us. Amen? Now, he did his deal. I was just, yesterday, I was listening to daily readings, and it said that he ascended into heaven. And he's going to come back the same way. So he'll descend to earth. That's pretty cool. And you know, a lot of people are excited about, man, I'm going to see Jesus coming back to earth. But the fact is, we should see Jesus continuously in each other, in ourselves, in the mirror, and in each other, right? Okay, but this is going to take a little effort. Okay, everyone like effort? Yeah. Little time? Okay. So a life coach, if you could be a life coach, you could get one person or two people or three people and you'd start working with them. Okay? Will you be discouraged at times? Yes. Well, don't be discouraged. I just found out that be encouraged because God is with you. Amen? And so from born again, the opportunity to be a life coach for 1 year's time, by the time we get through this, if we would just do this together, and you say, well, I'm a life coach, and if I get three people, you know, I'm kind of the guy that's really sharp because I'm the life coach. No, the fact is, you're going to find out a lot about your life and about their life in being a life coach. Amen? The disciples found out a lot about themselves walking with Jesus. He was a life coach. And really changing people's lives, really changing. So if we could figure, could you be a life coach? Yeah. You already repented. You're born again. Now we're just asking, could you be a life coach? Okay, and I'm not saying that everyone should say yes, because maybe down the line, 6 months, you could be a life coach. And it's nothing wrong with being discipled. In fact, it's a very, very good thing. And the disciples, Jesus learned a lot about his disciples by discipling them. Amen. He didn't say, well, yeah, now I picked you, you're disciples, and you don't have to do anything more. No, you're going to be discipled until you pass the test. And the test went all the way up to Pentecost,
right,
where they finally had to say, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
We can't do it without God with us and in us. We can't do it. Even as disciples, what happened to his disciples? After all of that training, 3.5 years of training, Jesus told him, he said, now, with all that training, you have to go to Jerusalem. You have to tarry until the Holy Spirit comes on you. All right? Okay, so are we still here? Okay. In basic training in the Navy, when we went to basic training, in basic training we had 10 general orders, okay? And general orders were 10 things that you were supposed to memorize, and then when we, in the morning, when we mustered together, all of the troops, your commanding officer would come up, and now in memorizing, you know, you can memorize something, but if somebody comes and looks at you, Gene, right in your face, about this far away, and he shouts out, what is your third general order? And you're going, my third, and you had to announce it properly to your commanding officer. My third general order is sir. Do not forget the sir. And then you would have to blurt out what the third general order is. Well, you know, after a period of time, and if you didn't know it, you were doing push-ups. You know, get down, give me 10 or give me 20. But pretty soon, you knew that you knew that you knew about those 10 general orders because you were mustering together every morning. Now, they probably didn't ask the question, but if they did you know it? And you know, really, I think maybe that's the challenge for this next year. Could we get 10 or 11 things together that we know, that we know, that we know? And so, number four, one of them was to be baptized into water. How many people here have been baptized into water? Most everyone? Okay, if you haven't, that's pretty good. Already you've completed man, you guys are just, I mean, you're passing the test big time. But baptism into water is not like, okay, let's say the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the power, it didn't say tongues. Didn't say that. It said the baptism of the Holy Spirit was actually, I will give you power from on high. And you see, they didn't have the power before, right? I mean, they couldn't even make up a decision. Hey, you know what? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. They didn't have the power. But when they received the power, they began to do it and do it and do it. And tongues was part of that. All right? And so sometimes we make the baptism of the Holy Spirit about tongues. And it is about tongues. But that's certainly not everything that God is trying to do with you. It's a release in the Holy Ghost. When you receive it, it's a great deal. But if you believe it, then you press in and you receive it, that'll change everything in your life. All of that aspect. When you believe in healing. You know, did Peter believe in healing? Well, yeah, I think he did. With all the other disciples, I think they believed in healing. I think Peter believed that he could walk on the water after a little encouragement from Jesus. He got out there and he walked a little bit and then he started sinking. You know, it was encouraging. But, okay, so here Peter is in the crisis hour when Jesus was being betrayed by a kiss. Peter grabs out a sword. Tom and myself were talking about this. And he goes and he cuts off the ear of opposition. Okay? And what did Jesus say about that? What did he tell Peter? He said, hey, you know, I was among you all these times and I didn't have to take a sword and cut a person's ear off. Jesus went over there and put his ear back on and got healed. He could hear a little bit better again. Okay, so Peter didn't do what was right. Right at the end of the ministry of his time, and of course Jesus told him about betrayal, and he said by the time the rooster crows three times, then you'll deny me three times. Was it one time the rooster, and then three times? Yeah, it was three times. Okay, yeah. Well, anyway, get the story straight. But anyway, he did exactly what Jesus said that he was going to do. Was it important that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the upper room? Jesus told him in his earthly message, go to Jerusalem and wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Tarry, wait until it comes, and then receive it. And when you receive it, Things started changing all the way around. Amen? Was Jesus a failure in ministry? Yeah. Are you sure he wasn't a failure? Yeah. Okay, so at crucifixion, how many people were with Jesus? His mother was still there, that was good. And there was some ladies that were there. Mary, yeah. So there was some, but it wasn't a big ministry that Jesus had at that time. But the fact is, he had already affected the whole world in the realm of the Spirit. Right. He actually shook the foundations of the earth at that time, but no one could see it in an earthly eye. Right. Right. All they seen was some man crucified on a cross, a shameful death, and a handful of ladies down there saying, you know, we loved him and we believed in him, and the disciples, they all took off. What was that now? Was John there? Yeah, the beloved. Yeah, this is your, yeah, thank you. I'll get the story. That's one thing about story. You see, the ecclesia helps us. The church helps us do what we need to do. So anyway, John was there. And you know what? John, the same John, I believe he wrote the book of Revelation. So it made a difference for John being there. God must have showed him some favor there. But in the idea of things, the disciples went and they were endued with power. And from that time forth, the church grew leaps and bounds. There was 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved. Things were happening. So was the disciples, apostles now, were they much better than Jesus as far as earthly ministry? Well, apparently, after being trained by Jesus, things started happening because of the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. God, send the Holy Spirit. Do something in my life. I need it. And this is going to wipe away and train people that they're going to stay in line. All right? We're going to move up quite quickly on this. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit was very important. Okay, to understand the spirit of tithes and offerings. Sometimes we say, well, I ask people, are you a tither? And they go, well, I really can't afford to do that and this, that, and the other. But if you go through the whole scriptures looking at the Old Testament into the New Testament, you find out that the Levitical priest order, the priest order in the Levitical times had no inheritance. Okay? They had no inheritance. And so from the very Levitical priest order time, and of course even before that, Abraham showed that he was going to be a tither. But even in the Levitical priest order, because the Levitical priest order did not receive an inheritance, the other tribes did, that the other tribes would pour in to the Levitical priest order so that the gospel could be preached, New Testament, or we wouldn't forget about God and go and do our own deal. Okay? And that thing, so to get the spirit of that, you break curses off your financial areas. We break now, in the name of Jesus Christ, poverty off our mindset and off the mindsets of this area, off the mindsets of the church. The greatest poverty spirit is on the church. Because they say, well, I'm just not going to pay tithe. I'm going, well, that's not my problem, really. That's the problem that you're having. So when you bring people into the deal, make sure that you could break the curse off their life, that they catch the spirit of giving. Yeah. Jesus gave it all, and he ascended into glory. When you do it, you'll see things, miraculous miracles. So the spirit of tithes and offerings, to grab that. Number seven, to understand the language of game changers. Okay, we've been in Game Changers for probably the last year and a half. Would have been about a year and a half. And Tom has really been placing a major emphasis when he's preaching on Game Changers. And a lot of times we're like this, a cow looking at a new gate or something. You know, I mean, hey, it's almost like, is that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible? You can do that? Is that legal? You know, you can be happy, you can have authority, you can take over anything and everything. Yeah, that's in the Bible. But if we only take that one chunk and don't take the rest of it, if we forget what being baptized into water means, then it's just an act that we're putting on. Amen? And if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit one time and you say, I spoke in tongues, and you don't ever do it again, what good was it for you? If we're not doers of the word, then we're needing to grab a hold of it and say, okay, God, I'm ready to run with this. Okay, number eight, to receive and incorporate the prophetic word spoken over your life into your life. Okay, prophecy is important. For years, this is what we did. We've received the prophecy. The next year, the prophet comes back. You want another prophecy, you receive another prophecy. Might be different, might be the same. But if you never do the prophecy or never grab a hold of it and really say, okay, this is what God is saying to me, Linda. I am going to have the anointing of Dave Wagner on my life. This is what I've called for. This is what I'm investing my life into. Because you said it's going to be powerful. But you have to almost do that every day. Because the old enemy, he's going to come, and the old enemy a lot of times is you. Because you're not submitting yourself to say, okay, I can do these 10 things. You know, a thousand sermons won't do us any good if we don't do the first 10 that we heard. Okay? And that's probably been a mistake in the body of Christ. So to receive and incorporate the prophetic word spoken over your life, it's another area. Okay, number nine, which is turning the page, is to walk in the Spirit and they became the church or the ecclesia. Okay, we just went through 4 days, about 25 hours of understanding what the church is. Ecclesia means the called out ones. We were called out this morning when you got up, and right before you opened the door of your house, you actually went to the tent, and the door of the tent, there you were standing. But then you were called even further than that. You were called to the ecclesia of the tabernacle. Here's the tabernacle. We're making some decisions here now. Are these things too hard for us to grasp?
No.
You think they're too hard? Or do you think that you could actually use these 10 things or 11 things to affect people in a very positive way that they could get to a place where they could walk themselves? You know, Christianity, to get to a place where they could walk themselves. That's really the challenge. And that's really, we're in a tabernacle now. Moses would get up and he would tell the people of Israel, saying, this is what God says. Bang, 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 bang. And they said, yeah, we want to hear from Moses, so we could say no. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we could say no, but we don't want to hear from God, because if this is God, then he's going to come and deal with us. And the people of Israel was very, very nervous, because when God started rumbling and speaking up on the mountain, they said, okay, Moses, you go up there. I don't want to go up there. Joshua said, I'm going to go up there, but he couldn't go all the way. But the people did not want what God had for them. They wanted what Moses had for them so that they wouldn't have to be so committed to it. Okay? Okay, and so then we number 10 was foundational teachings, order of first things to apostolic church government. And that means everything in between there. And so there's a lot of stuff in between there. Here, this might look small, but that's big right there. And we might not get that. If you were a life coach, we will make that up, and we'll give understanding on what foundational teachings are all about. And then number 11 was the gifts and the callings, using the DISC program. Has anyone ever had a DISC program? Jim, you have. Yeah. Okay, the DISC, you have. Yeah, both of you have. Jake, have you? I think so. Danny, you have. Yeah, you went with Lindell Ballinger. Okay. It builds relationships between each other in the church so that I can understand Darla and she can understand me. When I come in with my D personality and dominant, just doing this and that, she looks at me going, oh, here he comes again. You know? And she's a person that, she's not cautious by any means, but she is an I, a high I. She likes to make personal communication and saying, how's everything going? Yeah, and she wants affirmation on that thing. I said, a D just going, just get in there and do what you do and get it done. You know? And Darla's looking at me and going, so that's important that we can work together. Now, cautious people, which Danny and Linda might be a cautious, I don't know so much Linda, but I know Danny, working with him, I give him some time because he's cautious and he's saying, boy, what are you doing? You're going too fast. Slow down. Slow down. A D personality is just going, get out of my way. We're going to kill the giants, you know, tear up things, you know, spend money like you're crazy and whatever. And, you know, and people just going, ah, so it's important. These things are important. Now, if we could make a commitment together, and we get the rest of the body next week, if we could start making a commitment together to get people to just take these steps, 11 steps, that, I mean, 11-step program will change our lives and their lives. If we're a life coach, you're going to explain to them what water baptism meant to them. And you're going to look in the scriptures. There are some scriptures, but yeah, you can Google the deal. I mean, and it's all there. Okay, and did I get one? I thought, did we miss one, Danny?
No.
Okay, to receive a life coach. There was one area, was daily reading. Did I get that to understand? Number three, okay, to leave a life coach to bring people into understanding, read the one-year Bible. Okay. You say, well, is that important? If you read the Bible every day in a one-year area and I'm reading the same thing, then Jeff and myself, we can talk about, in 1 week's time, we can talk about all the things that were written and saying, wow, man, that was crazy. Why'd they do that? You know, it was kind of like the Ten Commandments. God gives the Ten Commandments, and then he goes out and tells Israel to go and kill everyone around. You know, I'm going, okay, how did I fit this into my theological thoughts? You know, so then you start thinking about this. Well, why did God do this? And then you start finding out that in the Old Testament, the enemies of Israel were definitely the enemies of God. They were wicked. And if they married into the wicked, then they become wicked. And so the old murder deal was to get rid of anything that was going to twist you and give you wickedness in your life, or putting it on your family. I think the school system, and I'm not saying so much in Thief River Falls, but I know this much, in college, that school system is wicked. Maybe not 100% wicked, but when we're fighting our national core's beliefs that in God we trust, and they're coming against all of that, that's wickedness. And I mean, a double-minded man, if you don't believe it's wicked, it may be half wicked. You know, a double-minded man fails in all his ways. So we have to figure out what's wicked and what's not wicked. Wicked means twisted. You know, and us as the ecclesia, we have the power to straighten everything out. In this room, we have the power to straighten everything out because God, the ecclesia, Christ in us, the hope of glory, has the answer. Okay? You, us meeting right here, Gene was helping me in some areas of area. I appreciate that. Yeah. Now, I used to probably would get insulted about that. But the fact is, you probably are a teacher. In some sense, okay, I want it right here. Now, me, you know, I'm just going to throw it out. And so, Sally, right now, I mean, she heard and Josh heard, I don't want you walking out here the same in Jesus' name. I don't want you walking out like you did last week. Now you didn't walk out bad that last week, same as I did. So don't take any hits. You know, I mean, hey, if we would agree, could we agree as the ecclesia that we could actually accomplish this in this next year? Maybe you've accomplished it all so that you could be a life coach, and you wouldn't have to accomplish it perfectly. We're not looking for perfection, and maybe this list is not the greatest list, or if you miss one thing, but it's a list. How can we go to this place? And we can say, hey, I agree on that. Let's do this together. And it's fun because I don't care how old you are. Someone comes along, and I've been working with Tom and David and Giovanni, and they say something to me, and I just go, man, I miss that in life. And so you become accountable to life. Now, Israel, when they were called out to the door of the tabernacle, there had to be a quorum. If they were going to kick you out of church, there had to be 6,000 people that were in agreement with you getting kicked out of church. Because all of Israel came to the tabernacle of the Lord. And if there was something wrong, it would take 6,000 people. How much power is that in your life? It's a great responsibility. We always give it, well, you know, let the pastor do that, let those elders do that. Hey, this is about you making decisions, church decisions. The church is a lot bigger than 3-4 an apostle or a prophet or something, a lot bigger than that. Church is you. We are the church. We're the called out ones. We've been called to the door of the tabernacle. We've been called to the tent, our own tent, our families in that house. This is what we do. Families, sons, daughters. Okay? You're going to be baptized in repentance. You know what? The parents, if they would bring up, hey, you need to repent. Well, you know, the kids are just out of order. Well, tell them to repent. Yeah, that's another thought, yeah. Yeah, that's a new thought because, you know, well, boy, the kids, I'd like to. And sometimes they need that. But the fact is, if you have a list to go by saying, do you remember when you were baptized? Okay, this means that you died to your own self and your selfishness, and you're living on to Christ. Kids pick that up. They do. And life coach, you are a life coach to your family. You're a life coach to your kids. If you can bring your kids onto Christ by 18, good chance you could bring anyone onto Christ, whoever you're working with. So anyway, that is my thought here, and you might not be so, oh, I'm so inspired, but the fact is, if we would do these things, it would change our lives. Amen? Yeah. All right. You know, praise and worship is a time where we express ourselves. So how did you do? Now I'm going to ask Jamie, how did they do? You were up there. You have to look at these folks. Did they do well? Some? Okay. Some better. Well, we can get better next week then, huh?
That's right.
Okay. These are some of the simple things. Well, how am I going to act in praise and worship today? Well, I don't feel like praise and worship. I didn't ask you how you felt. I ask you how you're going to act. You know, when they say dance, and when they say jump, you just say how high. When they say dance, how much? Or do we go back to just having that thought that I do everything what I think is right in my own eyes? And you see, you'll never have a church, you'll never have a family, you'll never have anything if you have that concept. You have to get a God concept. Ecclesia has to agree. Okay, today, Ecclesia has to agree with this concept or we're not going to get it done. Now, tomorrow, Tom and myself are going to go working together and we're going to get the job done because we're going to be in agreement. Now, he might not do it exactly like I do it and I might not do it exactly like he does it, but we're going to get the job done. Because that means a paycheck in my hand. And that is what we're wanting. We're working for a paycheck. We're working for Jesus.
Amen.
And you know, if tithes and offerings is a way to release a blessing upon our financial deals, let's bring the tithe and offering. And those that do not tithe and offering in a church, they're bringing a curse to the church. Because they're bringing it to themselves, but then they bring it in. And of course, people do that with tithes and offerings all the time, so I don't want that. But really, if you don't do what's supposed to be done, you really bring a curse to yourself and the church, whether it be a water baptism. If water baptism is just a one-time, dip in the bucket, you know, it's got to be more than that. It's changed my life. When I come out of that water, I was transformed. I was transfigured. Wow. You know, all these things have to be living, alive. Christ is alive on planet Earth. And then we have to come into some type of agreement. Now, 11 things. Do you think that we could do this?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Dwayne, you think we're going to pull it off? Sally? Josh? Jim? All right.
Come on.
I'm not going to go to everyone. But I think we could pull this off. And if we just work this thing. Just worked it, okay. Find somebody. Look for somebody. Pray. God, today, show me someone. Show me that truck driver. Talk to that truck driver,
yeah,
Tom.
That's right.
He come back, and the second load he come back, he gave Tom a big hug because I'm going, this is getting serious.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, now, I don't believe that it can be done without the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So let's ask together.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
let's say it together. Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
we ask that you will come and lead us. And that in each part of this page,
that we would consider.
And if we could say yes to it, in 1 year's time, it'll change our lives. And we need you, Holy Spirit.
We need you, Holy Spirit.
to breathe. Life into every aspect of it. God, every part of it.
Every part.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Holy Spirit.
Blow
upon these things that we are considering. The prophetic words coming true. The apostolic move is coming true. We're seeing your hands move in every dimension. And we release it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, that's good stuff, man. Hope Fest. Talked with Mel Manning this morning, and Hope Fest is going to be a free will offering, so you don't have to send your $40 or $80 in, or I think it was $50 for two people, which was, I thought, was very reasonable, but it's going to be a free will offering. So you can come down, you can enjoy, and we're looking to gather a lot of people, and it's going to be a lot more than just singing. It's going to be a lot of ministry deals that are going on, because we're going to have that type of liberty. So in that, if you're going to do something on the 20th and the 21st, that'd be a good place for you to be.